to the YONation.com podcast, the only podcast dedicated to University of Wyoming athletics.
As the friendly man in the intro said, this is the YONation podcast. We are very excited to be here to kick off this college football season. I am your host, Chad Smith, and I'm joined by the founder of YONation.com, Brad Reed, a.k.a. Mr. Titleist.
Hello there.
All right. The studio audience is happy to see you, Brad.
I'm happy to see them, too, if only they were real.
Okay. Are you ready to talk some football?
I am so ready for football season. I've been looking forward to this for 8 months.
Okay, so let's get to it. Folks, we are going to talk about some Wyoming football. We're going to discuss the depth chart that came out today in some detail. We're going to go through some of our positions that we're, you know, concerned about, positions that we think are a strength for this football team. We're going to talk about some of the impact players that we see making an impact this year. Of course they're going to make an impact because they're impact players, right? And then we're going to talk about the offense, which I think is a pretty interesting thing to see how that develops. And then finally, we will give you, however inaccurate they may be, our predictions for the Wyoming versus Montana football game. So, are you ready to rock and roll?
Ready to roll.
All right. Enthusiastic crowd.
So the depth chart. I can't believe we're about to do this in front of a live studio audience.
Yes, the depth chart is out, and it looks an awful lot like the depth chart. The depth chart that we saw to enter fall camp. Very little changes. Do you just want to go through some of the starters? Do we want to list them out?
Sure. So I don't think anybody's too surprised where we're seeing Colby Kirkegaard starting at quarterback for us. I think that was pretty widely thought that he would be starting come opening day. And from everything I've been reading, I can't be too disappointed in that pick.
Yes, Bowl definitely values seniors and guys who are older with experience, even though he doesn't really have experience. But that's a whole other thing we'll get to here later. So, yes, Kirkegaard will be calling the signals this Saturday.
And really, Colby's only job is to minimize the turnovers and keep the chains moving. That's a big part of Craig Will's offense. So as long as he can do those two things, Cowboys should roll.
Okay, so please continue with the rest of the offense.
Running back, we've got Sean Wick and DJ May starting. I think we're going to see a large dose of both of those and probably a large dose of freshman Ryan Hill, who has seemed to have made a huge impact here in the fall camp. At fullback, no surprise, Drew Van Manen is starting. He's probably the only true fullback on the roster. Wide receivers, again, in this offense, we may see a heavy dose of all of them, but it looks like it'll be Jalen Claiborne and Dominic Rufran at the starting slots with Jake Mulhart and Tanner Gentry backing them up. Tight end, we got the big man, J.D. Krill, starting. Looks like on our offensive line, which comes into the season with a few questions, plus they are very young. Starting on left tackles, Nathan Ladeghi. Guard, we got Chase Willier. Center is Rafe Kiley. Guard, we got Jake Jones. And right tackle, we got Connor Raines. The only senior on that bunch is Connor Raines.
That's right. So the offensive line has some experience, but they're also young. So I think it's a good unit for Craig Bohl and his staff to work with.
Well, all right, these guys got some solid time last year, too. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're all coming in brand new, fresh face. They are a little bit battle-tested already.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely the case. And now let's run down the defense, which is a very senior-laden group.
Yeah, we got, you know, I think leading that senior group, we got Blair Burns at a corner with DeAndre Jones on the opposite side of the football. Starting safeties are Darren White and Jesse Sampson. Your starting linebackers are Mark Nzacha, Jordan Stanton, and Devin Harris. That's a very veteran group with a lot of talent right there in that starting three. And your defensive line is going to be Eddie Yarborough, Patrick Mertens, Chase Appleby, and Sonny Pulitasi, another group with a ton of talent and a lot of experience. Probably going to be the strongest aspect of this football team.
All right, that's interesting. Now we'll get into that discussion later. Now, when I'm looking at this depth chart in comparison to the one that entered fall camp, I'm kind of surprised that we're not seeing more changes. So it seems that Bull and his staff got a pretty good look at things during, you know, the spring, and they saw more of the same here in the fall. From my count, I can only see four players who were either added or subtracted from the two deep. And those moves would be Jordan Ellis is now listed as the backup fullback, and in the spring there was not one listed.
Jordan Ellis is also a converted defensive player into fullback as well.
Okay, see, I did not know that. So very good information there. Second is Keenan Montgomery was the backup at one of the wide receiver positions, and he has been dropped from the two deep altogether. Third is at right tackle, where we see Austin Trafagun is now listed at number two at right tackle. And then fourth is one that you just highlighted to me in a clerical error that I did not catch, and that is Sean Wick is now listed as the starter over DJ May. And May's, you know, battling some turf toe problems, but he is expected to play this Saturday as well as everybody else. And so I guess the biggest news is from this fall camp, Brad, is the fact that we didn't suffer any injuries, and the roster, as Bull said today, is 100% healthy.
Yeah, that's, you know, very rare for a football team to go into fall camp and finish it with, you know, basically the same guys that you entered with. And that's going to be a huge boost for the Cowboys in Craig Bull's first game, having a healthy roster to go out there and work with. And, yeah, DJ May, he's been battling a little turf toe, but he was back in practice today, and looks like he's been ready to go for Saturday. And I'm in Craig Bull's offense, I think we're going to see a lot of Wick and a lot of May and probably a lot of Brian Hill just pounding that offensive line and trying to keep those chains moving.
That's right, and we will get into some of that discussion here in a little bit of how much do we expect him to pound the ball. So, all right, so is there anything else from the depth chart that you would like to comment about?
No, nothing too surprising. I'm really impressed with our front seven. It's a very strong group with Pulitasi and Yarborough anchoring that line. You know, I think at nose tackle we're going to see a lot of Appleby and a lot of Alive playing in that spot.
Yes, and there's a third guy in the middle as well that wasn't listed on the depth chart, and that is one of the freshman players from Arizona. And I'm forgetting his name already. Actually, no, I'm not forgetting his name. It's just I don't want to butcher his name. Do you know who I'm speaking of?
Oh, I've got an idea.
It's Sydney Maluulu. I'm looking at the pronunciation guide.
I really don't know if we can be trusted with some of these names.
Yes.
Hopefully as the season goes on, we'll be able to iron those kinds of little problems
out.
That's
right. Dave and Kevin will say them properly for us, so we will not have to struggle in the future. But he will be in the fold as well in that defensive tackle rotation because they said that they'd like to play three guys in that spot.
Yep, right. And that's good to build some depth right there.
Mm-hmm, and that has been a problem for us. So
he's a big boy too.
We'll start on the negative side, and I'll let you go ahead first. Maybe what are some position groups where you think there might be cause for concern coming into this season?
You know, it sounds a little cliche, but we always talk about the offensive line. Where are we going to be on the offensive line? You know, this is a group they've played together, but they're still very young with only one senior on the line. And it's been a question for, you know, more than two or three seasons now. Is the offensive line going to step it up, plow a hole for Wick and May to get through? Are they going to keep Colby Kirkegaard on his feet? You know, there always have been big questions about that.
Yes, and now we're going through a pretty drastic change in, scheme, going from a spread offense to where We didn't have the widest gaps in a spread offense, but now you're going to a pro-style, West Coast, pro-system offense to where the offensive line, their technique, and their blocking assignments are going to be totally different than they've been taught before. So that is going to be an adjustment as well in this early season.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the Cowboys are going to get their feet wet really quick. Their Montana's defensive line is very strong and very mean. So the Grizz are going to come after them. So I just, you know, a lot of people think that an FCS game to start the season is kind of a tune-up for the regular season, but this isn't your average FCS team.
Oh, that is completely 100% true. So if you're expecting an easy game, I'm sorry, you're probably not going to see that. So
sorry, guys, we're not playing the Bengals.
Yeah, it's not that we're not playing the Bengals. All right. Well, I guess a concern for me, but as you, I'm feeling a lot better by the way Bull has addressed this position, but the quarterback position obviously is a big concern just because the last time we saw Colby Kirkegaard in live action, we were losing to, was it Cal Irvine, correct?
Cal Poly,
sorry. See, I get them confused because they're like right next to each other. I've been to that part of the country many times. I get them confused every time. It's killing me. Sorry. So Cal Poly.
Great campus.
And that was no fault of his own, of course. And that was several seasons ago now, and he's older. And Bull says that he's really taken the time to learn this system. And he said he's improved a lot even since the spring. So Bull was raving about the way he's throwing the ball, his release point, the spirals he's throwing, and his accuracy. So it's good to see. But, you know, anytime, if you told me a year ago at this time with, you know, Brett Smith and then Jason Thompson on the roster that Kirkegaard would be your opening day starter the next year, I'd have been like, what the heck happened? You know? But
yeah.
But for whatever reason, you know, Smith and Thompson aren't here, and so Kirkegaard is the man for the job as of now. So let's hopefully that the offensive line can keep him upright and he can do the solid job that the coaching staff thinks that he can do.
Yeah, as Bull said today, you know, he is owned being the quarterback for this team this fall, and that's really encouraging to hear that Kirkegaard has stepped up and became, you know, the leader of this team, and he was named one of the captains today as well.
Yes, he was, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I almost forgot. I have him written down here. So your captains for this year on offense is quarterback Colby Kirkegaard, along with wide receiver Dominic Rufran. On defense, it is free safety Darren White and defensive end Eddie Yarbrough.
Solid picks.
So those are your captains, and I'm not sure, do you know, were these captains selected by the coaches or by the players in a vote?
That I don't know.
You don't know, okay. And that's always interesting to see how that happened. But this sounds like a player vote to me.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's very top-heavy as far as you know, senior leadership goes on that. Eddie Yarbrough being the only junior in that group, which is, you know, says a lot about his character too. You know, the players really like to get behind him. He was picked for first team All Mountain West this year.
Who was that again? Sorry.
Eddie Yarbrough.
Yes, he definitely was.
Yeah, really encouraging to hear. Can't wait to see him play this year.
Yes. And, you know, yeah, with some proper coaching. Now, a concern of mine is the defensive line, and only because of this fact. Now, these are going to be some sobering numbers. And if you have women or children in the room, you may want to get them away.
And if you're not sober.
Yeah. In the last 4 years, Wyoming's rush defense has been absolutely terrible. We all know this. Let's just run this down, just so you can know. In 2010... we ranked 106th in the country, giving up 205 yards a game. 2011, 115th in the country at 232 yards a game.
That's gross, too.
2012, 121st at another 232 yards a game. And just last year in 2013, 109th, 220 yards a game. Now, the bottom line is, folks, if you're giving up over 200 yards a game on the ground, you're not going to beat anybody on a regular basis. It's just not going to happen. So that is the number one area improvement that we need to see. And you know what? I think we're going to see it, and you don't want to know why?
Tell us why, Chad.
Because, and this is something that I didn't know, because, you know, we don't, as regular fans, we don't break down film and schemes too often. But I had no idea that under Dave Christensen, we were running a two-gap system on the defensive line, which is an incredibly difficult system to operate. And Craig Bohl has switched us over to a one-gap system to where, you know, an offensive line or a defensive lineman is only responsible for one gap instead of two. So he's no longer having to read the play. He's just attacking. And I think that's going to really help the defensive line. What are your thoughts?
The defensive line has certainly taken their lumps over the last few years. I mean, the numbers you just read off are disgusting, basically. So I'm really excited to see what the coaching staff is bringing to the table as far as, you know, closing those gaps. I mean, good Lord, look what teams like Air Force did to us, you know, 1 or 2 years ago. They just demolished us, you know, running the football. So I hope Steve Stannard is bringing in some, you know, a few different schemes. If you've watched any North Dakota State football over the last, you know, 5 or so years, that's a hard-nosed football team that loves to hit people really hard. So I'm hoping they bring some of that toughness from Fargo with them and close those gaps and see if we can keep the rushing under control. That's just killed us, you know, for so many years now. You know, it just gets tiring watching these teams just grind us to death, you know, even on our home turf. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see what he can do with that defensive line. You know, as far as your numbers go, it really couldn't get much worse.
That's true. I could pretty much guarantee you that there will be improvement in that category. So, all right, now let's get away from this negativity and let's just toss about some positivity here. So give me a position group that you think that we are strong in, that it bodes well for the future.
You know, this is one of the few areas that Dave Christensen really excelled in, and that was the wide receivers. That is a very talented group. Just looking at the two deep on the X and Z receivers, you know, you've got Rufran, Gentry, Claiborne, and Mulhart right there. You know, you mentioned Keenan Montgomery's name earlier. You've got Tanner Simpson down there who just got put on scholarship. I mean, the wide receivers are deep, and that's really exciting. And that's really going to help out Kierkegaard. You know, if he gets in a pinch, if the offensive line, you know, lets down or whatever, you know, if he's got a go-to group of receivers that can bail him out, you know, that makes everybody's life a lot easier.
Well, that's definitely the case, and the wide receiver group is the position group that I have also singled out as a positive, so we agree on that front. As I said, the talent's there, but really the only concern I have, and I think they'll be able to adjust to this, but this is a question with the receiver group, is, you know, the switch from the spread to the West Coast to the pro style, there's going to be a much more of an emphasis on them running, you know, really good, solid, crisp routes to get open.
Yep.
Just because of the scheme. But I'm still really not sure if we're how big of the split is if we're running, you know, a West Coast, you know, tree routes or pro style, because the West Coast is pretty versatile. So I think that our wide receiver group will do really well in this system. And you are making loud noises.
Sorry, I'm playing with things. Yeah, and you know, the other group that I really like too is our running backs. I think,
yes,
you know, Wick had a really good season last year. DJ May, of course, was out for the year with an injury, but, you know, DJ May is coming back. We got Sean Wick coming back, and there's been a lot of hype around this true freshman, Brian Hill. And that's really exciting, too.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that kind of hits on our next topic is, what players do you think will have the most impact in the coming season? So you've already mentioned a few. So I don't know. Do you want to pick single one out on each side of the ball?
You know, I'm going to go with the really trendy pick because I'm a trendy guy like that. But I'm going to say Eddie Yarbrough. Okay. I think he's going to have, you know, 10-plus sacks. He's going to have, you know, a few more tackles than he had last year. I'm not really sure how many he had offhand.
Well, he didn't get a lot, but I can tell you in my notes here I have written down that Yarbrough ranked 6th in the Mountain West with 6.5 sacks.
Solid.
So that is solid. So I would look for improvement on that, on those numbers, no doubt. All right. What about the offensive side of the ball for you?
You know, that's a tough one. I really don't know. I would like to think that Dominic Rufran's going to have a big year. I'd like to think that Sean Wick's going to have a really big year. I'm guessing that Sean Wick's going to hit 1,000 yards rushing. You know, I'm going to go Sean Wick. I think he's got 1,000 yards in him. Maybe even more.
Oh, that's probably the case. Now, remember last year in a pass-first offense, he racked up 979 yards, which ranked 7th in the Mountain West. So I think moving to a run-based system, I think 1,000 yards is easily attainable.
You know, and I wouldn't even, you know, I mean, this is all based on the offensive line, of course, but, you know, could we maybe see 2,000-yard rushers in this offense with Wick and May?
It's possible, and we will get to that here in the very next topic. So you are right on topic here, but let me give you kind of some of my players I think will stand out, and I'll go on defense. And I think our middle linebacker, Jordan Stanton, is in for another huge year. Now, last year he had 133 total tackles, which ranked number 4 in the Mountain West. That's a lot. But now think about this. Now, I think, like you, that we're going to get much better defensive line play than we did in previous years. And if that's the case, what does that do? That frees up the linebacker to make plays. So if this guy, who was behind a defensive line, which was a sieve, racked up 133 total tackles, what is he going to do in a new system to where if the defensive line is not allowing, you know, blockers from the offense to reach that second level, he's going to be able to make a lot more plays than he did last year?
You know, his tackle production may go down, but his big playability, you know, getting into the backfield for a stop or interceptions, you know, those kinds of plays will go up, and those are going to be really important too.
That is true. And then on offense, I think with us switching to this more pro-style system, I think the wide receiver, even though he's listed as second, he's going to play quite a bit. I think Tanner Gentry, being a bigger receiver, bigger than the rest of our receivers, is going to be used as, you know, that possession guy who goes over the middle, makes those tough catches, and he'll be used on the outside as well because he's versatile. But I think in this system, he is going to be the guy who ends up being the go-to guy when it's, you know, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, the guy who's going to get those tough yards over the middle.
Yeah, like maybe like a little Wes Welker type of guy.
Well, he's bigger than that.
Well, he's much bigger than Wes Welker is.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good 6 foot tall, and he's pretty well built. I'm thinking more of like an Eddie McCaffrey, but not – I mean, McCaffrey was a big guy, but, you know, going over the middle, strong, physical, able to make plays, catch the ball. He's got great hands, this Gentry.
That's a fun comparison. By the way, have you seen how big Jake Mulhart is? Holy cow.
Is he getting big?
6'6".
Okay, yeah, I know he's big, but has he put on the weight?
The depth chart has him listed at 215, but
okay.
Hard telling how accurate that is. But
you know, and I just really, know I just have that really in my mind. Yeah, and the only thing I know about Mulhart is that he had that crazy game. He set like the national record in high school. He had like 30 catches in a game or something insane out in California. So I view him based off those pictures I've seen. But, he is a big target. So he's listed in the rotation as well. So we'll see how he does.
Yeah, so, I mean, good Lord, there's 4 guys right there that can catch a lot of footballs if they need to.
So those are players to look forward to. You know their names. It's not like we went on the limb here. But, hey, we're playing it safe. Yeah, that's right. Just call us. Cowboy obvious is what we are.
We're here to keep it real. Realistic.
All right, we're about to wrap up this initial podcast, and we thank you for listening if you are. Now, remember, you'll be able to listen to this on wyonation.com. We'll have it posted there. But we are also hard at work on getting it to where you could listen to this show on your mobile devices. So we should be set up for iTunes. I know a lot of you people love your iPhones, so you'll be able to listen to wyonation.com podcast on your iPhones. And we're getting set up with Android as well with our partner Stitcher Radio. So stay tuned for that.
This is a really exciting idea, by the way. I'm glad you thought of it.
Yes, no, and thank you for going along with it, Mr. Titleist. And I don't know, let's just tell the people, did that come from because you golf a lot or what?
Yeah, because I golf a lot. But as I've gotten older and busy in a career type of thing,
you're not
the golfing has slowed down, and it's really sad.
Okay. All right. Well, it is sad because my life has played out the same way. Anyway, so let's talk about this offense now. I got some numbers here, and this goes back to what we've kind of talked about with the talent this team has. Now, we have a lot of good receivers because we've been running the spread, so we have the numbers there. But we also have really good running backs. So I guess my question is, with the offensive line being kind of a question, we don't know if they're going to be able to make that switch from, you know, a predominantly pass-blocking unit to a predominantly run unit as to how pragmatic will Craig Bohl be on offense. Now, I'm looking at his numbers here. His last 2 years at North Dakota State.
It's the Bison, not the Bison, by the way.
The Bison.
NDSU fans get really pissy about that.
Yes. Basically, they mirrored each other. This is insane. In 2012, they rushed the ball 64% of the time and threw the ball 36% of the time. And then just last season, 2013, same exact splits. 64% rush, 36% pass. What do you think we will see at Wyoming? Is he going to have to balance it out a little more, or is he going to be able to rely on that running game?
You know, that's a really good question. You know, he's got the talent there. If he wants to throw the football, there's a few guys there that will catch the football. It's going to be dependent on the offensive line keeping Colby Kirkegaard upright. It's going to be on Colby Kirkegaard. You know, is he going to be delivering in game day situation, put the football in the receiver's hands? So if Bull wants to throw the football, he'll throw for 4,000 yards if he wants to. If he's got a lot of faith in the offensive line to run the football, then we're going to see a much different offense than we did last year. We're going to see huddles. We're going to see, you know, taking our time at the line of scrimmage. We're going to see running the football, you know, not out of the shotgun in the pistol formation. I mean, this is going to be night and day. It's going to be back to the old Joe Tiller and Joe Tiller days when we had the Rhino running the football.
Exactly, and that's what I was going to say. I mean, I think you and I are about the same age, so we have those memories. Ryan Christopherson is just an absolute legend to me, and that's who I base every Wyoming running back on, is him, for better or worse.
Can you hit harder than Ryan Christopherson through the line?
So I think I knew that the people of Wyoming appreciate that style of football, and that's why I think there's so much excitement for Craig Bohl. And the news that, you know, we're, just a couple thousand seats away from selling this initial game out, and I think with a walk-up crowd, they definitely will. To get a sellout crowd for this team after, you know, so many years of subpar football really says a lot.
And they haven't sold out a football game since Virginia came to town in, 2007, I think that was?
Is that right? I was going to look that up.
I think it was 2007 when Virginia came to town and we held Chris Long the entire game to keep him from hitting our quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Which worked out pretty well for us. We won that football game.
We did, and that was a great game as well. So, yeah, so we'll have to see. So it's going to be fascinating. Now, the thing is, we don't really know what the plan is, but it seems like Bohl is going full bore with his system and his plan. So it wouldn't surprise me if we saw a similar rush-the-pass split to where, you know, it probably ends up being something like 60-40 in favor of the rushing attack.
Probably pretty close to right on that.
So we'll see. So, all right. Well, now it's time for us to make our prediction. Maybe this is hard to do, obviously, because we don't have anything to base it on, but you're going to be at the game. You will be representing Wyo Nation in the press box with a press pass. So do not embarrass us up there. Remember, no cheering in the press box.
It's okay. I've already talked to Mike Varell and Ian McMacken from Go Wild Go. They've kind of enlightened me to a few of the, you know, press box nuances and rules and such. So
very good.
I think we're going to be okay.
Okay, very good. I'm glad they are mentoring you in press box etiquette.
You know, I never thought at this point in my life I would need to be lectured on press box etiquette, but I'm kind of thinking it's going to be necessary.
So, all right. Well, now is the time. Let me get this going. We need your prediction. Now, hold on.
If you guys couldn't see me right there, I was actually doing the drum roll on video. Well, I really don't know what to say about this game. I mean, for those that don't know, I do live in Missoula, Montana, and I am a Montana Grizzlies season ticket holder. So I am more than familiar with this football team coming to play in Laramie. You know, I know what the Grizz bring to the table. They're returning a starting quarterback. He's a three-year starter, Jordan Johnson. He's a dual-threat quarterback. He actually played in Oregon at the same time Brett Smith was in Oregon. You know, Montana's got a couple of running backs that are very small, very shifty, and they run for a lot of yards. On the defensive line, they've got Zach Wagenman. He's a local Missoula kid, and he's FCS. I think he was a preseason FCS All-American, and he's on the Buck Buchanan watch list, which is the FCS's Defensive Player of the Year. Wagenman is going to be a very big problem for the Cowboy offensive line. He's got the talent to play at Division I, you know, FBS, but he stayed local and played for Montana. But this last week, Montana is now down two starting offensive linemen, one for academic ineligibility and one for career-ending injury. And that Montana offensive line is going to be a little beat up, and we've got a pretty talented front seven. So it'll be interesting to see how that little battle shakes out during the game. But, you know, the same goes for us. We've got a offensive line that maybe has some question marks, and Montana's got a defensive line that is going to be a lot to deal with. They've got Tonga Takai up front, and they've got Zach Wagenman coming off the edge. But the thing going for the Cowboys here is the Grizz did lose all three of their starting linebackers from last season. One of them is now playing in Miami, one's now playing in Seattle, and the other one is now playing in the Canadian Football League for the Red Blacks. So, I mean, the Grizz certainly have a lot of talent that they're working with here. But as far as a prediction going to go, I made this prediction like 2 weeks ago on some random thread on some message board somewhere. I don't even know. But I thought it was 31-17 Cowboys. I think, you know, Craig Bull's going to make a statement in his first game. Montana, you know, with injuries on the offensive line, they're very predicated on keeping Jordan Johnson upright and letting Jordan Canada run through the football field. And without that, you know, I just don't know how Montana's offensive line is going to look. So I'm thinking 31-17 Cowboys.
Okay, thank you. And listening to you talk about this game, you know, having a very good feel for both teams here, I've actually altered my prediction during your little speech there.
Whoa, there I am, changing lives.
Yeah, I was going to go with a 24-17 Wyoming win over Montana, but I'll bump that up to 27-17 because of you. So 3 points added.
Glad you didn't get too stingy with the points there.
Yeah, so 27-17 is my prediction. So we both have Wyoming victorious in Craig Bowles' coaching debut. And like all of you, we hope we are absolutely 100% correct.
To be fair, if we had picked against Wyoming in this game, nobody would ever listen to this podcast again.
That's true. But we will not sugarcoat things here.
No. If you've read our blogs, you would know we don't sugarcoat it.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, you know. Oh, anyway, we could get
into
it.
I think I had a blog last year with a picture of a dumpster on fire in it.
Yeah, I think you did. And that was highly read, if I do believe. So, all right, folks.
Aim to please.
All right, so this has been the debut edition of the Wyo Nation podcast. We thank you for listening, and for all of you who are going to Laramie to watch the game, have a safe journey and cheer on the Pokes wearing your brown and gold. And we will be back with you next week as we look forward to Air Force. Holy moly, the traditional early conference season Air Force game.
Yay.
So, all right. For Brad Reed, I am Chad Smith. Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.